This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. About to do Medal of Honor Monday. We've got all kinds of stuff. We're going to go into this. Remember this whole liberal Aunt Peggy thing I've talked about many times? Wow, maybe that was a little too on the nose because of this new study that came out. We'll talk about that. I'm going to buy a skyscraper one day. We have to get to a bunch of emails. Chris was talking about the Iran-Israel thing because I believe we will see an end to being an ally with Israel officially, because right now we're officially allies. I believe that day will end. What are the benefits? What are the good things about that? We'll talk about that and many other things still coming this hour, but you know what time it is. It's Medal of Honor Monday time. For you new listeners, every single Monday at this time, we do the exact same thing. Take a Medal of Honor citation and we read it. That's it. We just read it. These men, when men go do deeds like this, they deserve to be remembered. The man's name deserves to be remembered. The family name deserves to be remembered. The deeds deserve to be remembered. And probably most importantly, our children need to hear these stories. They need to hear that there is something greater than everything we see out here right now. Real heroes need to be held up in front of them. Otherwise, don't complain when they find some dork who's not a hero at all to look up to. They got to look up to someone, so give them something. How about Ralph Puckett? This is an emailed recommendation. Jesse, I'm pretty sure you've honored Ralph Puckett on Medal of Honor Monday, but he passed recently. He's worthy of being honored, so on and so forth. So this is from Korea. Without further ado, let us honor a one Ralph Puckett Jr., U.S. Army, Korea.
Ready, aim,
fire. Honoring those who went above and beyond, it's Medal of Honor Monday.
For conspicuous gallantry and intrepidity at the risk of his life above and beyond the call of duty, First Lieutenant Ralph Puckett Jr. distinguished himself by acts of gallantry and intrepidity above and beyond the call of duty while serving as commander, 8th U.S. Army Ranger Company during the period of the 25th of November 1950 through the 26th of November 1950 in Korea. As his unit commenced a daylight attack on Hill 205, the enemy directed mortar, machine gun, and small arms fire against the advancing force. To obtain supporting fire, First Lieutenant Puckett mounted the closest tank, exposed himself to deadly enemy fire. Leaping from the tank, he shouted words of encouragement to his men and began to lead the Rangers in the attack. This dude is the most Army Ranger dude ever. Almost immediately, enemy fire threatened the success of the attack by pinning down one platoon. Leaving the safety of his position with the full knowledge of the danger, First Lieutenant Puckett intentionally ran across an open area three times to draw enemy fire, thereby allowing the Rangers to locate and destroy the enemy positions and to seize Hill 205. During the night, the enemy launched a counterattack that lasted 4 hours. Over the course of the counterattack, the Rangers were inspired and motivated by the extraordinary leadership and courageous example exhibited by First Lieutenant Puckett. As a result, 5 human wave attacks by a battalion-strength enemy element were repulsed. During the first attack, First Lieutenant Puckett was wounded by grenade fragments but refused evacuation and continually directed artillery support that decimated attacking enemy formations, repeatedly abandoned positions of relative safety to make his way from foxhole to foxhole to check the company's perimeter and distribute ammunition amongst the Rangers. When the enemy launched a 6th attack, it became clear to First Lieutenant Puckett that the position was untenable due to the unavailability of supporting artillery fire. During this attack, 2 enemy mortars landed in his foxhole, inflicting grievous wounds which limited his mobility. Knowing his men were in a precarious situation, First Lieutenant Puckett commanded the Rangers to leave him behind and evacuate the area. Feeling a sense of duty to aid him, the Rangers refused the order and staged an effort to retrieve him from the foxhole while still under fire from the enemy. Ultimately, the Rangers succeeded in retrieving First Lieutenant Puckett, and they moved him to the bottom of the hill where First Lieutenant Puckett called for devastating artillery fire on top of the enemy-controlled hill. First Lieutenant Puckett's extraordinary heroism and selflessness above and beyond the call of duty were in keeping with the highest traditions of military service and reflect great credit upon himself, his unit, and the United States Army. And we lost Ralph Puckett Jr. on April 8th, just last week. Rest in peace, sir. You know the part of that one that gets me the most? We'll get to the last part, the staying, trying to stay behind part, but he kept running out in the open so men could see where the shooting is coming from. You know how often I read these stories when I read stories about our brave men who have fought in this country, fought for this country? You can't believe how often you read stories like this. It just happened to me 2 days ago. I was reading a story. It doesn't matter what the battle was. There were American troops. There were Marines. And they were being sniped at. And the sniper was tied to a tree. And there were a bunch of trees. And they could not find him. And so one guy crosses this little wall to go looking for him. And bam! Gets drilled right in the head. Dead. Gone. Down. Well, we had to find the sniper because we had to take him out. And so the next guy just volunteered. I'm going. Hey, keep your eyes open. Find him. And over the wall he went. And bam, gone, taken out. This one wasn't shot through the head. He was shot through the chest. Still could not find the sniper. Next one was a corpsman, a Navy corpsman. Those are Marines, pretty much. They're our medics, basically. Corpsman, Marine is shot. There is now one dead Marine laying there. The other one, mortally wounded, laying there. Corpsman goes over the wall, too, to try to help the guy who's down. Boom, one shot. Corpsman, done. Another guy. On and on and on it goes. Human bait to try to find a sniper. How ridiculously brave is that? Hey, guys, I'm going to run out in the open. When they start shooting at me, find out where they are, okay? Hopefully before I die. It's wild. And that combined with the last part when he tells his men to leave him behind. Think what that means. Had they done it. And it's been done many times throughout history in American troops and others. It's been done many, many, many times. Where some guy is wounded, thinks he's going to die, knows he's going to die, doesn't want all his friends to die with him, all his men to die with him. And so he tells them, you go, I will stay behind and die trying to cover your retreat. It's the most insanely brave thing, because when you say that, you are signing up to die alone and afraid, without a friend in the world. When he told his men that, go on, I will stay on this hill, you go, I want you to live. Well, yeah, he was saving their lives, trying to save their lives, and credit to them, they wouldn't let him. He was saving their lives, but he was also signing up to die in a foxhole on top of a frozen hill in Korea, surrounded by Chinese troops swarming over him, not being held by his wife or a friend, not saying the Lord's Prayer at the end. He gets to die with the Chinese bayonet being shoved into his belly. If he's lucky, that's how he gets to die. And he would know that when he told them to go on, and he loved them so much, he told them to go on anyway. That's awesome. And yeah, Chris just told me he lived to be 97. He was 97 when he kicked off last week. Pretty friggin' cool, right? So credit to him, the whole Puckett family. That's really, really, really friggin' cool. All right. Now, before I get to emails and liberal Aunt Peggy, I do want to discuss the alliance thing I was talking about earlier between us, Iran, what it may mean. Before we do that, let's talk about, well, how do you sleep at night? No, I'm not worried about your conscience. I'm sure you're doing fine there. Well, as fine as we can be, but you have trouble sleeping ever? Where'd you get your pillow? You know what a difference a pillow can make? You know how bad my wife's neck is because of all the gymnastics injuries? That she used to regularly get so stiff she couldn't turn her neck, couldn't turn to the side. She looked like Batman. Then we discovered my pillow. That's actually how I discovered my pillow. She doesn't have those problems anymore. In fact, when she travels, she takes her travel my pillow with her. That's how life-changing these things are. You know they're having a $25 extravaganza sale right now? You want their premium MyPillow with the new Giza fabric? It's $25. MyPillow sandals, $25. The six-piece towel sets, $25. Go to MyPillow.com. Click on the radio listener special square. Use the promo code Jesse. Go sign up and enjoy. We'll be back. It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. Do not forget, you can email the show, and you should, your love, your hate, your death threats, your Ask Dr. Jesse questions for Friday. Email whatever you want to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. I was talking earlier, in case you're just now joining us, we've done a bunch of stuff, talked about a bunch of things on the show, but how I can see a future where our allies will be radically different 30, 40, 50 years from now than they are now. And we were more talking about the Iran, Israel, America thing. Think about it. Think about how we look in this whole thing. We are, according to the documents, allies with Israel. They're our ally with us. Doesn't matter whether you love or hate that. That's the American foreign policy. Officially, we are allies. If we get in a fight, Israel has to join. If they get in a fight, we have to join. That's how it works when you have allies. Okay. We found out Iran was going to attack Israel, and we told them, go ahead, just make sure it's not too bad. This is after we have publicly called for the ouster of their current head of government, Netanyahu. This is not an enemy. This is an ally. These things are not done. So we called for Netanyahu's head. Then we told Iran to respond. Then we told Netanyahu he shouldn't
respond. So did he warn Israel not to respond? Did he say take the win, as has been reported?
I think the president was, again, very clear with Prime Minister Netanyahu about the success that they enjoyed last night and the impact that that success ought to have.
You get to a certain place and you realize being an ally isn't worth it anymore. And I'm not saying that that's where they are or that's where we are. So Chris asked about the benefit. What do we benefit? What do they benefit? Well, let's be clear about something. Allies are a burden, and allies are a benefit too. If you're Israel right now, and maybe you're a little bit upset that the United States of America allowed an attack on your country and then prevented you from responding, that would be a very understandable thing to be upset about. However, have you enjoyed the fact that Hezbollah didn't just flat out invade from the north while you were invading Hamas? Have you enjoyed that? You know why you got to enjoy that? Because the United States of America parked a carrier group right off the coast and said, hey, Hezbollah, right about there is where you're going to stay. Shoot your rockets, have your fun. You're not going in anywhere. That's a benefit. Look, I talked about us, how it works the other way for us, because we don't need Israel militarily for the most part. I know there have been some joint exercises, especially with like the super ninja types. Our Navy SEALs will get with their guys. But setting that stuff aside, militarily, they can't really do much for us. But intelligence-wise, they can, because the Israelis spy on everyone. Absolutely everyone. All their friends, they spy on them. They're not supposed to, but they do. All their enemies, they really, really spy on them. They have spies every freaking where. To be honest, the Russians have always been thought of as traditionally being the best in the intelligence world. It's probably the Israelis, though. They are everywhere, just out of necessity. It's a country of 8 million people. They can't project hard power everywhere. They don't have the manpower. They don't have the economy for it. But they know a lot. So, you know, knowledge becomes their weapon. We know what you have, where we can hurt you, what we can do. Is it good or is it bad? If that ally thing, if us being an ally of Israel, as it goes away, you know, I don't know. It depends on how you see what's happening in the world. I see this happening in the world in the future. And I could certainly be wrong about this, but I see this happening. I see the financial systems, especially in the West, but this will end up going global because the world, it's a global economy now. They're really, really, really going to break down. The amount of debt the West has heaped on itself with entitlements and then the inflation from money printing. So here's what I'm concerned about. I'm very concerned about civil unrest. I am. Right here in America. I am. And that sounds crazy, right? It almost sounds like I've been, hey, Jesse, you've been spending too much time online. Well, hear me out here. You've heard me rant and rave before about the automatic cuts that are going to come. Remember, this is not a Republican, Democrat thing. It's not a me thing. Automatically, if something is not addressed, automatically, they're going to start slashing Social Security. This is just a couple years away, 2-3 years away. 20% cut, pip, across the board, everybody. Your check is 20% less. Now, let's set everything else aside. What would that alone mean? Every Social Security recipient gets 20% poorer. That alone, economically, could cause social unrest. It really could. But here's a headline for you. Where is this headline? Oil price. Hold on a second. It's great radio. Oil prices surge is the number one threat to the U.S. economy. This is another thing people were not thinking about right now. That was from last week. It didn't have anything to do with Israel, Iran. Let's do a 20% cut to Social Security across the board. And that's double gas prices. What happens in this country? What happens when the comfort goes away? So because I see a future that is going to look like that, I see a future that is possibly more insular than the past has been. People looking to themselves, their own neighborhoods, their own communities. So maybe in the future, allegiance is not really what we're looking for. Anyway, I had a hilarious conversation with my boy, got in trouble with the house. It's funny. I'll tell you about it next. We'll get to liberal Aunt Peggy, emails, and so much more. Hang on.
Truth. Attitude. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. So I'll get to some emails. We'll get back to some foreign policy things and many, many other things. So we're doing this. Here's what's going on in the Kelly household. You know, it's me and Ob, and then it's our boys, James and Luke. James is 15. Luke is 13. Now, parents who've got kids this age and older will know what I'm talking about. Those who haven't should know that this is coming. I have always been close with my boys. They've always been my little buddies. And my wife has always been majorly close with the boys. She's one of those types that, to be honest, in my personal opinion, she kind of does too much. I mean, she just goes, I'm not talking helicopter parenting. It's not like that at all. But if there's a birthday party, like one of them's having a birthday the next day, she'll stay up till 11 that night doing a special stencil to hang it over their room so they can feel special. She's just that kind of super mom type, has bent over backwards, does it all for the boys. And they have adored and still adore their mother to no end. because of that. But they're boys, and they're hitting that age where, oh, they love her just as much as they used to love her, but dad is cooler now. Right? They're not little boys anymore. They're turning into teenagers, trying to figure out what they want to be as men. And now, oh man, I'm laughing just thinking about this. I'll get to the story in a minute. Now, she's not quite getting some of the credit she deserves for some things around the house. So this happened on Friday after the show. Okay, so we did the show Friday night. We're going to have a late dinner, so we could have dinner as a family that night. And this is how it worked. This is what we had. She went to the store. She got a chicken, one of those whole chickens they had at the store. They had them on sale. She went to the store. She got a chicken. This was a plain chicken. It was unseasoned. So she does the chicken up to the max. She seasons it, roasts it. So it's this perfect, juicy chicken. And she makes buns, hamburger buns. They were brioche buns, but she makes hamburger buns, right? So the plan is to have chicken sandwiches. She has purchased the chicken, seasoned the chicken, roasted the chicken, the buns for the sandwiches. She has made those. She's made those. They've come out of her oven, right? So it's time to sit down and have dinner. She makes a sandwich for James, sandwich for Luke, gets my sandwich ready, and she says, hey, because she knows me, she said, hey, do you want a slice of cheese on this? I said, you know what? Yeah, I'm getting a slice of cheese. I go grab an American slice of cheese. Why?
You know, freedom is not free.
Because that's why. And I look over at Luke and I say to Luke, hey, why don't you put a slice of cheese on your sandwich? Why wouldn't you want cheese on your sandwich? That'd make it better. He said, oh man, good call, Dad. So he takes off the top and brings it over, and I put a slice of cheese on his and a slice of cheese on mine. I throw it in the broiler for 30 seconds, pour it out of the oven, it's melted. I hand him his sandwich back. He goes, sits down, starts eating. I sit down and start eating. Now remember, I just got done telling you that she made the chicken and made the bun. He takes one bite of his sandwich with cheese on it and says, oh gosh, this sandwich is awesome. Thanks, Dad. Right in front of her, I burst out laughing without even looking at her. I burst out laughing and I look across her at the kitchen counter and she's staring daggers, not at him, but at me, as if it's somehow my fault. I said, what are you looking at me for? You just saw what just happened. You didn't do anything. Oh, it was the best. Oh man, I love that kid. You're welcome, buddy. My pleasure to provide you such a delicious and nutritious sandwich. I'm glad I could do that for you. Jesse, do you think the Iran-Israel thing is just to set up Congress so they can pass supplemental funding for the military-industrial complex and launder more of our tax money through Ukraine? No, because of so many larger things there. Don't get me wrong. These people love to play these foreign policy games where they just get to enrich themselves and kill generations of young men, both American and foreign. But that's probably not what this is. Now, that's what the Ukrainian portion of this very clearly is. And the White House kind of gave that away today with this. I don't know if you heard this. Of course, the House GOP is trying to wrong foot the Bidens in the White House and trying to make them look bad. So the House GOP said, hey, we're going to come up with just an Israel-only bill. Wow, it's getting really bad. We need to send Israel a bunch of money and stuff. And so Corinne Diversity Hire was asked about that today. Hey, what if they separate out this Ukraine stuff and just do an Israel bill? Now, remember, the single issue bill thing, it's something that I am passionate about and something that you should be passionate about. You probably already are. Why? Well, there aren't very many times in life where it's impossible to argue against your position, but this is one of those times. What's the argument against having single issue bills? Anyone? Chris, Michael, the floor is open. I want to hear. You're welcome to be devil's advocate, even the other side. What's the valid argument against having a single issue bill? It doesn't exist. The only reason you have multi-issue bills is so you can pass things the American people don't want. The only reason for multi-issue bills is so you can do unpopular and oftentimes corrupt things. There's no way to argue against a single-issue bill. No way. So Corinne Diversity Hire got pinned down about it today. Here's how that went.
So we've been very clear, my colleagues from here just moments ago, that we will not accept a standalone. A standalone would actually not help Israel and Ukraine. It would actually delay the needs that they the needs that.
This is fascinating. I'll let her keep going, but no, it wouldn't help Ukraine if we passed a bill for only Ukraine. It wouldn't help Israel if we passed a bill for only Israel. Really, Corinne? Why is that?
The needed aid that they obviously need to fight. You see what's happening in Ukraine. Obviously, the brave people of Ukraine are fighting against a tyrant. We need to make sure that they have the assistance that they need. We saw what happened in Israel just over the weekend, and the leadership that this president has shown. It would actually not help them if we do a standalone, and we do not support a standalone.
Huh? I guess maybe we should play that again, because what she did was, this is a very common communist tactic, she acted like she was about to answer the question. Well, hey, why would a standalone bill help them? And then she rambled off a bunch of things that didn't even pretend to answer the question, and then at the end, spiked the football and acted like she answered the question, which she absolutely did not answer at all. Hey, Corinne Diversity Hire. Why won't you support a standalone bill?
So we've been very clear, my colleagues from here just moments ago, that we will not accept a standalone. A standalone would actually not help Israel and Ukraine. It would actually delay the needs that they the needs that the needed aid that they obviously need to fight. You see what's happening in Ukraine. Obviously, the brave people of Ukraine are fighting against a tyrant. We need to make sure that they have the assistance that they need. We saw what happened in Israel just over the weekend, and the leadership that this president has shown. It would actually not help them if we do a standalone, and we do not support a standalone.
Well, now it's crystal clear, don't you think? Now I totally understand it. All right, we have to wrap up one final thing on the whole torpedo thing. Remember, we've started a new business venture. It's going to be quite lucrative. Someone brought up an important point. We'll get to that, and then we're going to talk about this new study, courtesy of NBC News. Liberal Aunt Peggy, she's real. Before we get to that, let's get to this. Do you want the strength and confidence to stand up to the liberal Aunt Peggy in your life? Next family reunion, when she starts bragging about her 19th abortion, do you want to still slink out the side door and roll your eyes? Or do you want to stand there and fight for what's right? Chalk, male vitality stacks, and female vitality stacks are an essential element for me in my home. I've been taking a male vitality stack. I think it's been 3 years now. The way my body feels, my mind feels. Gentlemen, you understand that you need testosterone for logical thinking. Did you know that? Did you know you need it for your mood? You down a bit, fellas? How about a 20% increase in 90 days? With natural herbal supplements. Ladies, female vitality stack. You want to feel better, sharper, ready to go at the end of the day. CHOQ.com, promo code Jesse. Huge discount on subscriptions for the lifetime of them. Chuck.com, promo code Jesse. It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. Did you see this dude who won the Masters, this Scott Scheffler? This dude sounds awesome. Well, sorry, his name is Scotty, I believe. Scotty Scheffler. When you win golf, you can't just have a name like Scott. It's got to be Scotty or something like that. Although, I don't know what he goes by. Either way, he sounds awesome.
Sitting around with my buddies this morning, I was a bit overwhelmed because I told him, I was like, I wish that I didn't want to win as badly as I did, or as badly as I do. I think it would make the mornings easier. But I love winning. I hate losing. I really do. And when you're here in the...
Gosh, we need so much more of that in this country.
Biggest moments when I'm sitting there with the lead on Sunday, I really, really want to win badly. And my buddies told me this morning, you know, my victory was secure on the cross. And that's a pretty special feeling, to know that I'm secure for forever. And it doesn't matter, you know, whether or not I win this tournament or if I lose this tournament, you know, my identity is secure for forever.
That guy sounds awesome. Dear Psycho Torpedo Enthusiast, I thought, oh, you know what? Hold on a second. Before we go on, I wanted to talk about one more quick thing, a great thought that I had, and I don't want to delay it any longer. You know something that gets annoying is how smart the women on the right are today. Hear me out. The women on the right, you ever pay any attention to these people who do podcasts or TV shows, or maybe it's your wife, maybe you are that woman. They know all these issues and stuff like that, and it's such a tremendous burden. We need to go back to a time where women were dumb. And this is what Democrats bring us. And look, I'm being nice. I'm trying to be nice. We never compliment the other side. These women on our side are so intelligent and they know about all the issues. I like the AOCs of the world. She's so stupid. Their dimes are so stupid, and there's something attractive about that. Michael disagrees with me. Chris is with me on this one. I'm going to play for this. This is Jasmine Crockett. She's one of those Democrat dimes. She probably has the IQ of a bar stool, and that's kind of odd.
As we know, the Republican Party is run by Russians at this point in time. So let's say some Russian decides to communicate with a member here in D.C. What FISA does is it's surveilling what the Russian is doing.
I just want to tell every Democrat out there that I appreciate you. You bring me back to a time, a better time in this country, a better time when the women were all stupid, like Democrat women are. Dear Psycho Torpedo Enthusiast, I thought all your ideas for torpedo games were cool, especially the underwater observation posts. That was actually Luke's idea. Just wanted to give you a heads up, though. Insurance on this venture is going to suck. And you know Jewish producer Chris isn't going to help out on all the premiums. That's a problem. I had that exact same thought. And actually, I had the same talk with Chris and Michael when we were discussing our torpedo games. The insurance costs are going to be staggering. And I just want to say this. I have encouraged people on the right to become more... What's that big word that starts with an L we learned from that lawyer, Chris? Litigious? Litigious? Yes, we sound so smart. We have to be more litigious. We should be suing all the time because we are having our rights violated all the time. The right should be a lot more litigious than it is. At the same time, everyone does understand that that's a big reason why insurance companies run everything now, right? And why insurance companies make everything more expensive. People have made those connections. I just want to be clear about that. Yeah, man, I sued my doctor for $50,000. He didn't read the x-ray right. I had to keep the cast on for 4 weeks instead of three. Screw him. Then the next guy, the next week. Have you seen these medical insurance costs? It's through the roof. It's ridiculous. Who do we blame? This is the most lawsuit-happy country on earth, and we pay artificially high prices because of that fact. Just want to make sure everyone realizes that. Jesse. Dear Neck Pillow Dad, your son makes me wish I never left teaching that Kelly Apple doesn't roll far from the tree. This one's actually, he's talking about my youngest son, Luke. He had a team trip this weekend on Saturday, had a long bus ride. It's like a 4 or 5 hour bus ride. Well, because I'm a man, a Renaissance man, I should say. I'm a very versatile human being who many talents, if you will. I have discovered in recent years the beauty of the airplane neck pillow. You can take any normal seat and sleep. You can turn it into any seat, a first class seat, with a neck pillow. They really are that wonderful. And I never had them before because I was always worried about image. And then I realized that's so stupid. Buy the neck pillow. And now I don't travel without it. So my youngest son, he's got this long bus ride. I had to get up 5 a.m. Saturday morning. I said, boy, you want my neck pillow? Help you catch some Z's. And he said to me, Dad, no, I'm not using a neck pillow. I have a reputation. And I said, excuse me? You're 13. You have a reputation? What reputation would that be? And you could tell he was thinking about it. And he thought, and he said to me, well, I don't know. Not the kind of guy who uses a neck pillow. Dirty little snot. Hey, Jesse, since we can't hear your theme song on the podcast, have you ever thought about having a contest for your fans to write a theme song you could use? Chris, I actually like that idea. But no, we're not doing it. Don't write me a song. Don't put a bunch of effort into that. I don't even know if we'd be allowed to use it on the podcast. All right, let's get on to some other things out there. First of all, I've been waiting on this because I didn't want to get my blood pressure up. But there's an illegal, this woman came here illegally, and she had this to say.
They abuse us verbally, she says, and take our belongings without our permission. If we complain, they call the cops. The reality is we feel offended. We come to this country with an American dream.
Why don't you go back home? If things are uncomfortable for you here, if people are stealing your stuff, you could always take whatever you have left and leave. Maybe we don't want you here. Maybe you violated our immigration laws and now you're not welcome anymore. And maybe you should pack up your crap and take every member of your family with you and go back where you came from. How's that sound? All right. I ran into something this weekend. We're going to talk about communist infiltration in your company, in your place of worship, in your organization, whatever it may be. Should you spot them? How can you spot them? What should you do about it? That, Liberal Aunt Peggy, and more. But first, let's talk about your real estate. Did you know that you can be a real estate mogul? No, I don't think you should try to be a mogul, but we should all be acquiring properties right now, right? And maybe you would call yourself a mogul. Imagine if you had 10 properties. If you were renting out 10 properties, that's retirement income, as in you don't need another one. Well, how could a normal person like you do that? Well, that's what Done For You Real Estate does. Done For You Real Estate gets normal people and it gets them in the rental process. And they'll handle it all for you. They find the home, they handle the financing, they handle the rental process. They begin walking you through building it and they build it for you. You, normal person, can have rental homes, assets the government can't destroy the value of. But you can't do it unless you go to doneforyoujesse.com. Doneforyoujesse.com. You want to start on the American dream? That's where you begin. Doneforyoujesse.com. We'll be back.
This is an iHeart podcast.